Good morning and welcome. If you have your Bible handy, I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to look at that passage, several verses there. In this message, I've entitled, Christmas is for Encouragement, in this series, Christmas for the Rest of Us. December is a difficult month for a lot of people. The focus on a holiday adds to the family stress that we live with all year. Financial pressure, relationship difficulties, depression, or any number of unresolved issues. Pausing to look at Joseph, the husband of Mary and the stepfather of her son Jesus, can help us put our troubles in perspective. Joseph doesn't get much ink in the Bible. We know he was a carpenter only because people referred to Jesus as the carpenter's son. He's not mentioned again after the birth narratives. It appears that he died sometime before Jesus' public ministry began. And still, Joseph has something to say to troubled people. Christmas is for encouragement, especially for those who are struggling with the issues of life. Let's look at four aspects of encouragement that can help during troubles. First, encouragement is needed when God interrupts. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Joseph and Mary were betrothed. It was more than engagement today. It was a formal step in the marriage process. It was legally binding. It required a divorce to end the relationship. You couldn't just call off the wedding. If a woman's fiancé died, she was considered a widow. For the next year, the bride continued to live with her parents, and her mother would prepare her for all the responsibilities of marriage. Then, on an unannounced day, the husband would go to his bride's home, get his wife, take her to his own home, where the marriage would be consummated and life together would begin. Verse 18 is filled with potential emotion. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. You live in a small town. Everyone knows everyone's business. You're engaged, and your fiance comes and tells you, I got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is I'm pregnant. The good news is that even though you're not the father, I have not been unfaithful to you. What? You're what? But you have. So how could? What did you say about the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but an angel came to me and said, Mary, you have found favor with God and you're going to have a baby conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's safe to say that Joseph struggled just a bit with the news. A teenage girl turns up pregnant. Since the beginning of time, there's only one way that happens. What were his immediate emotions? Anger? Pain? Disappointment? Betrayal? Embarrassment? Shame? Joseph was a very troubled man. Do those emotions seem familiar to you? A no-win situation at work and you can't see a happy ending. A relationship you fought for is ending and you can't salvage it. You've been lied about, slandered, and degraded by someone who wants to hurt you. And there's nothing you can do about it. What now? Second, encouragement is hindered by human reasoning. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Being a just man. Just man is a Hebrew expression used to describe a man who is totally committed to keeping the law and is obedient to God's commands without compromise. No unclean food, no violation of the Sabbath, no inappropriate behavior. Everyone in Nazareth knew Joseph. He would have been admired and respected. He was somebody in the community. Now this righteous man had a problem. He was engaged to a woman who was pregnant, and he wasn't the father. He knew what he was to do next. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 21 makes it clear. Then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from among you. Even if Joseph sought the advice of other men in town, the council wouldn't change. Mary had to be punished for her sin. Joseph's faith was really being tested in this one. Would he be obedient to the scriptures? Were there any other options for him? Divorce. He'd be separated from the girl and his reputation would be intact. But Mary could still be stoned to death by the people for her immorality. Joseph lived with this tension. On the one hand, over and over. And then the angel showed up. So third, encouragement is established with God's word. Verse 20 to verse 23. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Why did the angel say, don't be afraid? I don't think it was because he was seeing an angel. I don't think it was the consequences of disobeying the word. I believe it was all about losing his reputation and status. I believe it was related to what people would think. I believe he was afraid of believing and marrying Mary. Nazareth was a small town. The word would eventually get out if it hadn't already. Joseph's life was changing and he couldn't do a thing about it. The angel told him what Mary told him was true. Joseph's dilemma, try to hold on to his reputation or follow God's plan for his life. And that means to live a blemished life for God in a small town where people don't forget. Alexander Solzhenitsyn spent part of his life in a Soviet Siberian prison. At one point, he was so physically weak and discouraged that he hoped for death. The hard labor, terrible conditions, and inhumane treatment had taken its toll. He knew the guards would beat him severely and probably kill him if he stopped working. So he planned to expedite his death by simply stopping his work and leaning on his shovel. But when he stopped, a fellow Christian reached over with his shovel and quickly drew a cross at the feet of Solzhenitsyn, then erased it before the guard could see it. He would later record that his entire being was energized by that little reminder of the hope and courage we find in Christ. He found the strength to continue because a fellow believer cared enough to remind him of our hope. And then fourth, encouragement is experienced in our obedience. Verses 24 and 25. But first, the minute a businessman who was well known for his ruthless behavior once told Mark Twain, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." Mark Twain said, "I have a better idea. You could stay in Boston and keep them." Then Joseph, verse 24, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph woke up, got dressed, and went to get his bride. And though no one in Nazareth would ever know, Joseph did not consummate the marriage physically until after Jesus was born. And then he legally claimed the baby as his own. Joseph trusted his life to God's power to do the impossible. He married the pregnant girl and fathered her child because it was revealed to him that it was God's plan. After exercising that kind of faith to obey God, what impact do you suppose it had on his children when they learned of it? Listen, our children are watching to see what is important to us. Our reputation or our obedience. Maintaining the status quo or being part of the scandal of God's love. A life interrupted is not a life destroyed. You may be convinced your life is over because your job is over, a relationship has ended, or a chapter in your life has ended. God is not destroying you. He is using your circumstances for something new in your life. Miracles sometimes involve suffering. Receiving God's salvation in Jesus Christ will not grant you immunity from future pain and turmoil in your life. Obedience is always better than escape. Some of us here may be facing a situation where the easy way out is not the path God would choose for us. What will you do? The journey of life is not guided by the path of least resistance, but by the path of obedience, no matter the cost. If God has brought you to a point of decision, I encourage you to do the right thing, even if doing the right thing is the hardest thing you've ever done. Will you choose to follow God's plan, even if it means giving up what you value the most? Translating God's word into a tribal language is very challenging. One missionary was troubled by his inability to effectively communicate the idea of obedience. This was a concept that the natives seldom practiced or valued. His translation block was broken one day when he whistled for his dog and the animal came running at full speed. An old native was impressed by the dog's responsiveness and admiringly said in his native tongue, "Your dog is all ear." The missionary had his word for obedience. And it's a pretty good translation for us as well. To paraphrase Samuel, to be all ear is better than sacrifice. Christmas is for encouragement. The question is, are you willing to do what God calls you to do, regardless of the costs, with that encouragement? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of Joseph. The testimony of a just man who found himself in a difficult situation and had to make a choice to follow the path that protected what he had or to follow the path that God had planned for him and leave his reputation and his life in God's hands. Father, may we be those who confidently trust you in our faith and leave the result to you in our obedience. Father, I just pray that you speak to each one of us, that we would fully surrender our lives to your lordship, for your glory, for your praise. And Father, I pray that you speak to each one of us, those of us sitting here, those of us online watching or listening. And Father, that you would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And you have a great day.